Just for those who weren't with me for Bav Metzia, I never know who was with me. We had two shiurim so far, Bav Metzia, this would be the third. And we were talking about the word ochazin. The Mishnah says, Shnayim ochazin betalis. Rashi makes a big deal about it, Dafka ochazin. And Tosus elaborates on this. Tema, says Tosus, just to review the kash of Tosus, that's what we got up to last time. Tosus sees a stira between Bav Metzia and Bav Basra. In the case of Arva, you have a boat, and two people are claiming ownership over the boat, and the Gemara applies the principle of Kol Yom Gavar. So we don't know, nobody really has good evidence, and in such a case, we have a Mamon Amutal Basafik, we don't know what to do with the Mamon. So the rule of Psak becomes Kol Yom Gavar. Here in our Mishnah, we don't know what to do with this talis, and the Mishnah says yachloku, that the best thing we could do with the talis, if we don't know who owns the talis, is to split it. Tosus posits the following contradiction: what is the rule in a case of mamon amutal b'safek? Should Beis Din sort of cut down the losses, and instead of giving one more than the other, let's at least give each one half? Or should we say let them beat each other up and call the olam gavar? So here the Mishnah advocates yachloku. There the Gemara advocates call the olam gavar. The Yeshlom and the ochazin shayni. The Tosus points out that the difference is because here we have ochazin. Do you want to sit here? Is this good for you? Okay, that's good for you. But the shir is in English. I mean, I can switch to Hebrew if you want, but... So I taught Shalvim for 10 years, you know, so I know a little bit of Hebrew. Again, you know, they still say, oh, you have an American Hebrew. What can you do? I can't change my accent, but... Even in American, I speak with a Brooklynese accent. I can't change that either. The Yeshlom and the Ochazin Shaini. So why is Ochazin different? He says the Choshev Ki'ilu Kol Echad Yeshlo Ba Bevadai Achetzi. He says if a person is holding on to Metaltalim, then that generates a Chazaka. And the Chazaka, says Tosvis, is a Vadai. So let's emphasize the word vadai. Bevadai achetzi. Each one has definitely owns half the talis. That's the way chazaka operates, and that's what he calls ochas in shayin. All right. Well, Yosef, what's going on? Are you all right? Yeah, we get an extra chair. Now, if you have any doubts about the Lashon HaTosfos, he's even more clear in the next line. He writes, Danan Sadi, Demayda Tofis Hai Dinehu. So we have an Anan Sadi, which is a Vada, you know, it's like Edom. Edom is the greatest Birur, that which a person is holding on to is his. So what we're going to study today, Amir Hashem, before we start Chulin, is a Rabbi Elchanan. There's an insight here of Rabbi Elchanan that I wanted to analyze with you about why and how Chazaka operates. How does this Tfiso or Achiza, it's interesting, Tosus calls it an Achiza, the Gemara usually calls it Chazaka, Rabbi Elchanan calls it by a different word, he calls it Tfiso. So it's either Achiza, Tfiso, Chazaka, whatever you want to call it, but Tosus identifies this or classifies this as a vadai. Why is that so? I mean, the fact that someone's holding on to it is a vadai. And Tosus calls it an ansadi. So when we split the talis, says Tosus, we can do so because we know, based on tfisa, based on achiza, that Reuven owns half the talis and Shimon owns half the talis. So the achloku is what's called a chalukas vadai. Mashen came in the case of Ahu Arva, says Tosus, there we don't have any tfisa, no one's holding on to the boat, each one is just coming forward with a claim, and in such a case, Kol Yom Gavar. Now, as far as this part of Tosis is concerned, we're okay, but the plot grows thicker. Tosis says, "What about Mana Shlishi?" Now, Mana Shlishi, if you fast forward to Daf Gimel and Aleph, is a case where there were two Mafkidim and one Nifkad. The Nifkad received 300. He received two mana, that's 200 from one, we'll call him one of Ruvain or Shimon, and he received 100, one mana from the other, which again is either Ruvain or Shimon. And we don't know, there's going to be an argument here between Ruvain and Shimon on the third mana. Ruvain is going to insist that he gave the third mana to, we'll call him Levi, to the Nifkad, and Shimon is going to insist that he gave the third mana. So you would think, says the Gemara, that in such a case we take the third mana and we should say Yachloku. So the Gemara asks the following question, Maishna, why should it be different? Just like in the case of Shnayim Oksim Vitalis, we split the Talis, that's called Yachloku. We should say the same thing in the case of Mana Shlishi, Yachloku. And the Mandi Omer, who actually says that we don't say Yachloku, is Rabbi Yossi. Lema Mastisa, Deloka Rabbi Yossi. We should assume that our Mishnah is against Rabbi Yossi. So Tosfos says now the plot grows thicker because we have Momen Amutal B'Safik in our Mishnah of Shnayim Oksim. What's the halacha there? Yachloku. And yet they have Momen Amutal B'Safik in Babasa, in the case of Arba, and there we say what? Kol Yolam Gavar. And now we have Mana Shlishi, which is again Momen Amutal B'Safik. We can't determine who deposited this Mana Shlishi in the hands of the Nifkad. But instead of saying Yachloku on the Mana Shlishi, which Gemara thinks logically we should say, or alternatively, instead of saying Kol Yom Gavar on the Mana Shlishi, we say Yemunach HaChiyov Elio. Now, what Tosis wants to do is he wants to analyze the Havamina of the Gemara. He's not interested in the Maskon of the Gemara. Why in the Havamina does the Gemara assume that just like we say Yachloku in the case of Shnayim Oksim, so too in the case of Mana Shlishi we should say Yachloku. The Chema Mana Shlishi Demedame Bigamara Talis. The Gemara equates it with Talis. Now, where's the Tfis over? Who's holding on to the Mana Shlishi, Rav Osai? Is it the Mafkid?
No,
it's the Nifkad. So if it's the Nifkad, and Tosis just established that what generates Yachloku is the mutual Tfisos, or called Machizos, then in the case of Mana Shlishi, why does Gemara think that we should apply the principle of Yachloku? Where's Yachloku Mana Shlishi?
Tosis says, you don't apply the Tzvada is because of Chazaka, do you?
But in the case of...
I'm saying you can't do that here because the guy's saying it's not his.
Correct. Even in the case of Talis, he's saying it's not his, but in the case of Talis, at least we could say that if there's an Anansadi, the fact that he's holding on to it, which Tosis identifies as an Anansadi...
Talis is saying it is his. The guy who holds the Talis is saying it is his.
Right, but I thought you were saying that in Mana Shlishi, no one has a clear-cut claim, right? Each one is claiming that he owns the Mana Shlishi.
There's no Chazaka. There's no Vaday Chazaka in Mana Shlishi, even though...
Well, that's what Tosis is bothered by. He thinks that there's no Chazaka because who's holding on to the Mana Shlishi?
Even though the Nifkad is holding it on, it's not definitely his because he's not saying it's his.
Well, no, he's admitting that it's not his. He has no Chazaka. Chazaka is only if a person has a title. So again, let's just understand Tosis's push over here. Tosis is pushing based on the Gemara's equation that the din of Yachloku should apply in the case of Mana Shlishi. Why? Because the Gemara says that the Mishnah of Mana Shlishi, which is Rabbi Yossi, and he says Yeimunach HaChiyov Elio, that's against our Mishnah, meaning that if Rabbi Yossi would have reflected our Mishnah, then he should have said Yachloku. So Tosis tries to work very hard to understand the Tzushtel, because in the case of Shnayim Oksim, Tosis pushes for Yachloku based on what?
Achiza.
Correct, and each one has an Achiza. In the case of Mana Shlishi, and Tosis even doesn't even ask the question, he just answers the question. No one with a claim has an Achiza on the Mana Shlishi. The Mana Shlishi is in the hands of the Nifkad. Sometimes it's a chain, but Mana Shlishi. Dimidami Hagamara Bagamara Litalis Choshiv Hahuda Nifkad Tofes Becheska Shneim Ki Ilu Heim Atzmam Muchzakimbo. The Tos comes up with a Gavali Gechidish. He says that just like in the case of Shnai Mosa, where we have a physical tfisa and each one is holding on to it, so too we have a tfisa, so to speak, al pidin in the case of Manish Lishi, because the Nifkat is holding on to the Manish Lishi on behalf of whom? Well, first let's translate the words in Tosis, and then you'll tell me why you think Tosis is wrong. But Tosis says he's holding on to it on behalf of both of them. Shanifked tofes b'cheska shneim ki'ilu heim atzma muchzakim bo. On both sides. On the one shlishi. Again, Yosef wants to see it as the whole bow is all the 300. But Pashat Pashat and Tosis, he's saying that the one shlishi is a case of Shnayim Osim Vitalis. The Gemara makes that equation. What makes one shlishi Shnayim Osim Vitalis? Tosis says, because Choshev Ki'ilu Shneim Atzma Mukzakimbo. What do you mean, Choshev Ki'ilu Shneim Atzma Mukzakimbo? How do you generate that halacha of Shneim Mukzakimbo? I don't get it. The Nifkai is holding on to the Manish Lish on behalf of whom? Yeah, both of them? Why would he do such a thing? Again, he's at fault for right, he's confused. Okay, we'll say it's not an avon or a pesha, it's only a chet. You know what I'm saying? He's only a shogeg. And maybe shikhecha, I don't know if shikhecha is considered a chet or an avon. I don't know, I have a suffix about that. You know, chet shikhecha tosya. But certainly, he should be, and if he only knew what he doesn't know, he should be holding on to the Manish Lish on behalf of whom? On behalf of either Reuven or Shimon.
One of them is probably a liar.
Okay, that we're going to get to later. Then Tosu to try to work out, you know, why we say Yeimuna Hachiyov Elio. But right now, he's trying to understand the equation in the Gemara and the Havamina. You see how Arisha works overtime, sweats it out to understand the Havamina in the Gemara. Why did the Gemara think that the Yachloku of Shnai Moksim should apply to the Manish Lishi? Where's the Shnai Moksim? Again, Tosu says the Yachloku is predicated on the mutual Achiza. Each one has an Achiza on half the talus. And therefore, Chazaka, Kol Mash Tachas Yodam Shalohu, and it's as if we have an Ansadi, the Maida Tof is high, the Deu, Maida Tof is high, the Deu. Where do you have such a Tfisa in the case of what a Shlishi? This is a hella to be this Tosis. Again, I understand the Tosis.
The Amira of the Nifkad constitutes Eidut, prima facie Eidut, it's like an Ansadi. It's not the physical holding of the Talus in the first Mishnah, it's that there's some evidence that the claims are valid. So here, in the second
right,
case,
but the evidence is only to exclude, let's say, a fourth person. Let's say Yisachar comes into Bez and he says, well, that Manish Lishi is mine. You know, then I could say you have a dut in that is that he that sure that Yisachar doesn't own the Manish Lishi. Why? Because the Nifkat is holding on to it on behalf of, again, in Tosfos like on behalf of two people, Reuven and Shimon, certainly to the exclusion of Yisachar. I'm using the word Yisachar because I'm calling the Nifkad Levi. I'm just giving him a name. But when you cross out, when you exclude everyone else in the world other than Reuven and Shimon, now to say that Reuven and Shimon are both Ochazim, and to say that there's an Ansadi, that we should split the Manish Shlishi, because each one has an equal tefisa on half of the Manish Shlishi, because the Nifkat is holding on to it on their behalf, that's a bit odd. You know, to call that an ansadi, you know, that we have a dut, as you say. I call it a dut, but if you want to call it a dut, that's fine with me, but you call it a dut because there's some testimony on behalf of each one of these two fellows. Again, if you're excluding some third party, nicha, but to exclude Shimon from his... You see, Shimon has a tfis on half the talus. He doesn't have a tfis on the other half of the talus. Reuven has an exclusive tfis on his half of the talus. So you could postulate that that's the halacha of tfiso or achiza metaltalin. Again, we have to understand how this operates. That's what Rebbe Chana is going to try to give us an insight. But Tosis calls it an anansadi. But Tosis is saying the anansadi works for Reuven on half the talus and for Shimon on the other half of the talus. I find it a stretch, you know, to postulate that on the Manish Lishi, because the Nifkat is holding on to on behalf of both of them, that's called an Anan Sadi, that what? That we should say Yachloku, and half of this Manish Lishi belongs to Reuven, and the other half belongs to Shimon. Where's the Anan Sadi over here?
Why can't we just say that in both cases, or back up and look at globally, that you have Mamon Amutal Basafi, Kolkim, that we don't either know and have no proofs in either case who has this talus and who has the Manish Lishi.
No, but then we should say Kol Yom Gavra. That was Tos's original kasha, right?
Yeah, but then we said that they were muksakim.
So it's not that it's Mamon Amutal Basafik, we should say Yachloku. Tos's is not willing to buy into that. You know, that there's a general, all-inclusive, universal halach that Mamon Amutal Basafik Yachloku. Tos's can't tolerate that because of the Gemara Bava Basra about Kol Yom Gavra. So what are we going to do? We can't say Mamon Amutal Basafik. We have to add another condition. What is the other condition? It's not just Mamon Amutal Basafik, but it's Yachloku is based on Mamon Amutal Basafik Yishayesh Lekol Baldin Mukhzakus, right? We call it Achiz or whatever you want to call it. And Tosis adds that the reason why we're going to split the Talis is because Anan Sadi, that there's a Vada here that he is holding on to half the Talis, and that's his half Talis. This one's holding on to the other half of the talus, and that's his half the talus. Now Tosis expands that in order to justify the Gemara's analogy to the case of a Nifka, that the Nifka is holding on to this Manish Lish on behalf of both of them, on behalf of Reuven and Shimon. And again, we're going to apply the principle of Yachloku in the Hafmin of the Gemara, because Anan Sadi, the Mighty Tough is the Dehu, Mighty Tough is the Dehu. I find that a bit of a jump. I don't know, maybe you're comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable.
The Hafmin is very bad.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that Tosis has no problem with the Hafmin. Tosis is going to have to come up with a new principle of Mamon Amutal Basafik, and he's going to say, well, we really should say Yachloku, but we can't do it. Why? Because then we're giving the Rami half of the Talmud, you know, or I should say half of the Manashli. But again, Tosis is perfectly comfortable with understanding that Mamon Amutal Basafik Cholkim should apply to the case of Manish Lishi. And why is that? Because the Nifkad is holding on to it on behalf of both of them. I understand that you could say such a thing if you're talking about a third party over here, but to say that with in the Dinu Dvarim, you know, the Tvias and the Tainus on the Manish Lishi within Reuven and Shimon's claim and counterclaims, that there's a Tvias of an Ansari on each, on behalf of each one through the Nifkad, this vicarious Chazaka that's going to set up an Anan Sadi on each half of the Manish Lishi, and therefore we should say Yachloku, and Tos seems to be absolutely comfortable with that. Maybe I don't know. I don't see where the Anan Sadi comes in.
The general principle is somebody is claiming something that somebody else has. It says the most mitzvah of a riot. In this particular case, when they're both holding on to something, so it's the same thing. You know, you want the part I'm holding on to, prove it's yours.
Right.
And that's the way it is. But now when the third person is holding it, the third person is holding it for somebody, not for two people, like Joyce is saying. He's holding it for one of the two. We don't know which one of the two it is. Mm-hmm. Nobody can take it, because of a Motzi Chalei or a Raya. They don't have any Raya. So Motzi Chalei or a Raya means that.
No, it's not.
It's a Motzi from nobody.
No, it is.
He's not holding.
No.
But he's admitting it's not his. But he's admitting it's not his.
From the Nifka? The Nifka from the Nifka?
No. The Nifka is holding it on the orders of somebody. He just doesn't know who the somebody is.
Tanna Kamma, not Mishnah, says pay each one 200.
100.
200. Each one gave 200, one gave 100.
That's Rabbi, that's the Suja. I don't want to get to the Suja on the Shlishi.
There's only 300 in the first place.
Correct. Again, we want to focus on Mamon Amutal Basafik. So what is the principle that applies to Mamon Amutal Basafik? I'm going to keep talking. You don't have to listen to me. Mamon Amutal Basafik, what should we do? So Alan's approach is, forget about Anan Sadi. We're not going to take this Chazaka too far, and we're going to say the Chazaka proves that it's yours, as if there were two Eidim that testify on your behalf. We're just saying that our hands are tied. Bezdin's hands are tied. We can't take it it out of anyone's rishus. So the nifkat is holding on to it on behalf of both of them, and we can't take it out of anyone's rishus. So all we're going to do is split it. Again, that would make sense if you're saying that we can't do anything because each one is holding on to it, and amotzi mechavil v'raya, nobody has a raya. But Tosfos is not saying that it's the absence of a raya. Tosfos is saying that we have a positive existence of a raya. And that's why we say Yachloku. Yachloku is not a Chalukas Sofei. Tosfos insists that Yachloku is a Chalukas Vade. We're absolutely convinced that each one owns half the time. I don't know how you would say that in the case of Manashrit.
How does Rav just clarify the case? What is the Nifkad saying?
Nifkad saying, I don't know what to do with the Manashrit.
He's saying it belongs to either one of these. And
one of these two, and I don't know.
Right.
I don't remember who gave me the Manashrit.
That's not the din in the Mishnah that he's quoting. Look at the Mishnah. It's someplace in Amavkid, I think the second Mishnah. It does not say Yachloku there.
No, for sure not. Chas v'shalom, nobody says Yachloku Manashlishi. But the Gemara says we should say Yachloku Manashlishi.
Not the Gemara, Tosfos says.
No, well, I don't know. Maybe you have a different reading of the Gemara, Rabbi. But
where does the Gemara say?
The Gemara says, Leimah Masnisin Deloka Rabbi Yossi. That there's no way you can reconcile Rabbi Yossi and Manash Lishi without Mishnah. It's only stating the Gemara. That's not, Tosfos is not guilty for that. It's right there in Daf Gimel. So you can't deny it. I mean, you can deny it because you don't have a Gemara, but I'll give you my Gemara, Rabbi. All right. So Rabbosai, let's just go on in Tosfos, just to get at least somewhat of a picture of this Tosfos. Tosfos goes on to say that what? Umishani, lekach mishani dehosam vadai dechad minayahu.
Yeah.
The Enach Haluka Yecholios Emes. So it's basically Tosfos says we should apply Yachloku to the case of Manashlishi because they're both Ochazid, it's Shnaim Ochazid. But we have a problem. We cannot impose a psak of Yachloku for a technical reason. We need the possibility that a Haluka Yecholios Emes. So what do we do in the following case? We're definitely talking about Ochazid, so we're not going to apply the principle of what? Kol Yolam Gover, that's out. Now the question is, should we apply the principle of Yachloku or should we apply the principle of Yemunah? So Tosfos says there's another factor, another variable that kicks into the equation. And what's that? Is the Chaluka Yechol Elios Emes or it's not Yechol Elios Emes? If it's not Yechol Elios Emes, then Lekach Yemunah. As if to say, you know, Bezdin would be... It would be a little bit dirtying their fingers, soiling their fingers if they would say Yachloku and give a Rama, you know, give someone who's clearly cheating here, give him the money. We can't do that. In the case of Shnayim Ochsim Batalis, we have an ansadi that each one owns half the talis. We're very happy with that Yachloku, very comfortable. But we're not comfortable with the case of Yachloku in Manashlishi, although again, Tosfos insists it should be Yachloku, but the problem is therefore, Yehemunach. Abel Talis, in the case of Talis, we have a very good reason to assume that each one owns half the Talis. They picked it up simultaneously. It was a Talis Shal Hefker, and we're going to split the Talis. Now, what I wanted to point out to you is a kasha here of Rebbe Elchanan. And I don't know if we're ready today for Rebbe Chanan's answer, because his answer is very, very complicated, but his kasha is a beautiful kasha. He starts by quoting this Tosfos, what's the difference between Shnayim Ochzim and Arva? And the answer is that Och is in Shiny, V'choshev Kilu Kol Echad Yeshlo Bevalei Chetzya, and he quotes the Rush agrees with Tosfos that Yachloku is because Chazaka kol masha tachas yod adam shalom. Fine. Vihine. Hadi amrinan. Chazaka kol masha tachas yod adam shalom. Hatam. What's the reasoning behind it? Ditfisoso mochachas. Again, in this case, Rabbi Chanan doesn't change much. I mean, in case he substitutes the word tfisa for achiza, or tfisa for the word chazok. I'm going to try to see why. I think I know why he does that, but he uses the term mochachas. What does mochachas mean? are we paskining based on tfisa because we don't know, or are we paskining on tfisa because we do know? What does the word muchachas mean in Rabbi Chanan's language?
We do know.
It's a hochacha. It's a tfisa sheyesh ba hochacha. Again, I'm not sure exactly why in Yavanah Shlishi that should apply, but that's my problem. Rabbi Chanan has a different problem. So first of all, what is the hochacha from the fact that you're holding on to it? So he says, you know, you remember Chazal say, chachma me'ayin tibotza. He says, me'ayin bolo liyado. Where did he get this from? The achzuke inish beganve lo machzakinu. That's a very positive attitude towards the human race. We don't assume, even though the Gemara says rov ganve yisrael, but again, we don't assume up front that a person is a ganov. It didn't fly down from heaven. Although again, in the case of Shnai Mopsa Batalis, I'm not sure if it didn't fly down from heaven, but they have to grab onto the talis. And we're assuming he's not a ganov. Oh. So Tosis says, I'm going to prove it to you. I'm not Tosa, I'm sorry, Rabbi Chanan says, I'm going to prove to you. What's he trying to prove? That Tfisa in Metaltalin is a Hochacha. How does he know this? Because he has a Sugya later on in Bab Metzia, which is called Gojos. And the Gemara establishes that Chazaka in Gojos is meaningless. This is also a Sugya in Bab Basra, it's in two places. What's Gojos? Gojos is an animal that's, you know, it has animation, it moves from place to place. The fact that a person is holding on to Gojos proves absolutely nothing. And the Gemara establishes in such a case, lo mahani tfi sasa. So what do we do in the following case? We knew that this goat belonged to Reuven. Shimon is claiming that he bought the goat or he borrowed, I don't know what he did, but he's grabbing onto the goat. And we have now a dispute between Reuven and Shimon. We're going to call Reuven by one name and we're going to call Shimon by another name. We know that what Shimon's name is. What's Shimon's name? He's the Tofes. Everybody have that? Because he's grabbing onto this goat. What is Reuven's name? Like Shimon is the Tofes. What's that called? Okay, another phrase for it. Cheskas. Morakama. So Reuven is the Morakama and Shimon is the Tofes. Now you and I would say that with all the respect to the Cheskas Morakama, but Tfisa is a Tfisa Mochachas. He didn't steal it. Nay, here it's not a Mochachas because how did he get his Tfisa? Gojos. It roamed into his field. If that be the case, then we go back to Cheskas Morakama. Everybody with me? This is a beautiful, beautiful proof for Rabbi Chanan's position that Tfisa is a Tfisa Mochachas. Again, I don't need Rabbi Chanan really. I have it here now at Tosis. Tosis says, why do we say Yachloku? Because the Achiza, the Tfisa, is a Tfisa Mochachas. Tosis calls it a Vadai. Tosis calls it an Ansadi. But Rabbi Chanan has another proof. In addition to the language of Tosis, he has a proof from his Sugyan Shas. If Tfisa was not a Tfisa Mochachas, then we would go back to the Marakama. Haraya, I'm going to give you a case where a person has a tfisa, but there's no hochacha. What's that case called, Rabbi Ose? Everybody, help me out here. Gojos. So in that case, we give it back to the Marakama. What happened to the tfisa? The answer is because the tfisa is not a tfisa of hochachas. Ad kana kofal. Now we get to hakofa beis. Here, Rabbi Chanan has a serious problem. Because l'chora, the Gemara holds that Tfisa, even if it's not a Raya, is stronger than a Cheskes Marakama. That Tfisa, I'm going to prove to you now, says Rabbi Chanan, after he finally proved to me beyond shadow of doubt that Tfisa Metalta means a Raya, now he has a Gemara that proves that Tfisa is not a Raya, but rather it's a din of Tfisa. It's the very fact that I'm holding on to it. That alone is enough to establish a chazaka without hochacha. What's the case? Kimavua beperek hashoil. That's this famous sugya here at Daf Kuf. And the Gemara says hamachliv parah bechamor. And we don't know whether Yolda, whether the Vlad was born before or after the chlip in the kinyan. If it was born before the kinyan, it belongs to the mocher. If it was born after the kinyan, it belongs to the lokeach. So the Gemara says that in this case, I just read to you the line in the Gemara, The Gemara says, Lexe Birshuse Deman Kaima. Where is the Vlad? If the Vlad is now in the Rishus of the Mocher, then the Mocher should win it. If it's in the Rishus of the Lokeach, then the Lokeach should win it. And the Gemara answers, it's a case of Omedes Ba'agam. The Vlad is neither here nor there. It's not in Reuven's Rishus, the Mocher, nor in Shimon's Rishus. But had it been in the Rishus of one of them, then he would be awarded the Vlad, and the Gemara doesn't blink about this. The Gemara is forced now to reinterpret the Mishnah that's Kaivei Mekayim V'Agam. So Rav Elchanan asks, well, what do you mean? It's less say Bershus the Deman. No. Well, what difference does it make? That's irrelevant to this case. There's no Tfisa Shal Chacha. So why don't we give it to the Marakava and award this Vlad to the Mocher? Rav Elchanan says, you see that there's another din of Muchzakus. Ubedin Muchzakus, Ein Chilu Klal, Beinim Tfisas Mochachas Alo, Olo Mochachas Alo. And the Gemara wants to award it to the one who has a tefisa, even that tefisa doesn't prove a thing, and that's against the Marakava. So if the Vlad is found in the Rishus of the Lokeach, the Lokeach has right to be awarded that Vlad because he's holding on to it. Furthermore, he has another sugya. This is a very, very famous sugya of Sofek Bechor. The Gemara says you have a Sofek Bechor is Amrinan Amotzi Mechavel of Araya. Which means that if right now the Bechor is in the Rishus of the Baal Abayis, right, the Bailim, then he gets to keep the Bechor. If on the other hand the Bechor was now in the Rishus of the Kohen, then he gets to keep it. What's going on here? Nothing is proven. So you see that there's a din of Tfisa which is not based on Hochacha. So Mirtz Hashem, if we continue by Mitzia, that's going to be a decision we have to make. Again, we'll take a democratic vote and then I'll decide. Right, we're in the mood for voting these days.
Well,
right?
Why don't we say Godros in these two cases?
That's exactly Rebbe Chanan's question. If you strip the Chazaka of its Halchacha, then we should go back to the Marakama. And yet the Gemara says, nein, the Vlad is now in the Rishus of the Lokeach, which proves nothing, and yet we're going to award the Vlad to the Lokeach. That's his cash. Okay, Rebbe Osai, so that's where we're going to stop here, and now we're going to learn a little bit of Chulin. And we'll start with the sugya of Halah. Remember, we spoke about the sugya of Halah. Now, do we have photocopies, Yechiel?
I made five, but we have some more than that. So.
Oh, okay. Where are the copies?
There are already some over here.
You have a few over there. You want to just pass them up here? Thank you, Sammy. That's very good. All right. What happens at the beginning of Perek Kol HaBasar? We have what's called the Iser of Basar B'Cholov, and the Mishnah says that this Iser applies to all categories of Basar, including Oaf. And not only that, the Mishnah goes on to say that there's an Iser Halah. We can't put the Oaf on the same Shulchan at the same table with cheese, with a Gvina. The Gemara vacillates back and forth. Are we holding now that Basar Oaf is Doraisa, it's included on the Gedi, or are we holding that Oaf is not included on the Basar, it's Basar Behema only, but not Basar Oaf, and therefore the Iser of Basar Oaf Bechol is only what? Durabanan? And somehow, we're going to have to solve another problem. If the Iser Basar Oaf Becholov is only the Rabbanon, how could the Rabbanon have gone a step further? What gives the right to Chazal, to the Rabbanon, to institute another Gzera called Halah in the case of Basar Oaf? If Basar Oaf is only the Rabbanon, so Basar Oaf itself is a Gzera, Vanan Nigzar Gzera L'Gzera, how can we add a Gzera to a Gzera? Okay. Now, we have a discussion about the following issue. Supposing you have a kedera, and in this kedera they cooked both basar and cholov. The guy owns the kedera, and lefamim sometimes he cooks milk, sometimes he cooks meat. To him, it makes no difference. And now the issue is, if you, the Jew, now cooks in that pot, is there an issue of bishul basar b'cholov? So again, if you remember, we discussed various possible scenarios. Is he puts parv into the pot, or maybe he puts either cholov or basar and the tam of the basar and the cholov mixed together in this cooking. And the Ramah says you got to avoid it under all costs. So this leads us to the sugya of what's called bishul achar bishul. And in the pages that we gave out from the Moreshes Moshe, I don't know again what you have, what you don't have, I can't keep count of that, but there was a page called Reish Samach Beis. And there, he says the following. Let's say you cooked the meat separately, and you cooked the milk separately. So each one has already been cooked, and now you cook them together. He has a shita here that in such a case, everybody would agree that yesh bishul achar bishul. Interesting. Each one separately is already mevushal. So your bishul really doesn't add anything. Meaning if bishul is meant to be the first bishul, this is not the first bishul. But on the other hand, it was never cooked together as basar v'cholov. So he writes that... What's the gather of yesh bishul achar bishul? He says yesh bishul achar bishul in this particular case might be different. If you're going to tell me that you're only chayef lo savashel gediba chalevio because you were machshir dvar lachila, that you took something that was not edible, it's raw, it's chai, and you made it into mevushal. Well, in this case, the cholov is mevushal, it's edible. The basar is edible. So why is it that that's not called yesh bishul achar bishul? So he says that has to be another definition. It's not that the lav of bishul is that you made it into something that's edible. You took it from the state of chai and you made it into mevushal. Because if that be the case, then since both the basar and the chol have already cooked, how could you say yesh bishul achar bishul? But no. What does it mean? The definition of bishul, he says, is Iruv Tamim Shel Basar V'Cholov. Now he quotes this in the name of one Rishon and two Achronim. One Rishon is the Chinuch, the Sefer Chinuch, and he writes, Shetaroves HaBasar Im HaCholov Al Yedei Maisev Bishul Hu Sivas HaIsur. That's the definition. I'll give this to you in a second. Yeah, that's the definition of the Iser Bishul according to the Sefer Chinuch. Again, he says that the Iser Bishul is Taroves of Basar Im Cholov. That Taroves itself, through Bishul, is the Iser of Lo Savasha. Then he quotes two Achronim. One is Reb Chaim, and the other is the Chazon Ish. And it's like Shnei Neviim Nisnabu B'Signan Echad. He says the name Reb Chaim V'Ikar Isuron Humashin Is Arvu V'Nosnu Tam Zebazet De'atam Hama'urav Mibasar V'Cholav Yachad. In other words, when this bishul creates a tarovus of tam bas and tam cholov, zeh gufo shel isur. That's the isur.
He's not talking about
talking about the isur bishul.
Reb Chaim's talking about Iser Bishul?
I think so. Again, we could go back to Reb Chaim, but again, I don't want to get sidetracked here. And the Chazon Ish says that the Iser is laharkiv tam chadash. By mixing the meat and the milk, you have created a new tam. And what is that new tam? Basar v'cholov. And that's the Iser Bishul. Now, where is the source for this? It could be, again, we're early in our studies here in Basar v'cholov. It's the Gemara on Daf Kuf Ches. Let's open up for a moment to Daf Kuf Ches. And the Gemara there says that first we'll start with the Mishnah and then we'll see the Gemara, but the Mishnah itself says three lines down from the top of Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, Tipas Cholov Shenofla Lachaticha Im Yeshba Benosein Tam Biosa Chaticha Osu. Now again, here the Mishnah is not talking about Bishul, and it could be that the Tipas Cholov just spilled onto the Chaticha, but when does it become Basar v'Cholov? only if there's the sinas tam. So that means that the ratio between the chalav and the basar, it's a small piece of meat, or maybe it's a large drop of milk, is less than 1 to 60. So let's call it 1 to 59. So if it's 1 to 59, then that's called nosin tam, and it's osu. The Gemara actually formulates in the name of Rava a principle that underlies this halach of nosin tam, and Rava says, derech bishul asra Torah, which means that you're only chayav for achilas basar b'chalav if the basar b'chalav was created through what?
Bishul.
Derech bishul. What's derech bishul? So that's something that we have to define, and we'll get to that in just 2 minutes. Before we get to that, I just want to point out that in halah we have a serious problem, because what are we afraid of? If he puts basar and chalav on the same table, he might come to eat them together. Well, even if he eats them together, it's not derech bishul, because bishul always requires yatzoletzbo. It's going to be hard for him to put, you know, cheese and meat into his mouth, and that would be yatzoletzbo. So this is where the Gemara goes into a whole discussion about the gzera of halah and how it works. Okay. Now what I'd like to see today with you is at least one part of an essay here, which I hope you have. It's called Din Nesinas Tam Be'Isar Basar B'Cholav. You have it here.
Yeah, this is the second.
Okay, so we're going to take a look at the... Anybody else need a copy of it? You have a copy. We have two more copies, going once, going twice. Alright, one more copy, sorry. Okay. Now this is a piece in which we're going to study a tshuva Rabbi Kibbeh. Yeah, this we'll get to in a few minutes. Believe me. So what's going on in this tshuva of Rabbi Kibbeh? So to appreciate this, we have to know a bunch of Rishonim that are strewn, so to speak, throughout Shas. There's a Tosfos in the Masechta Avodah Zarah. There's a Rosh in Hilchos Kelayim. The Rosh actually authored a whole work on the laws of Kelayim Begadim. And there's a Sefer Aguda in Masechta Nida. This is really a whole cadre of Rishonim. They assume an amazing chiddush. Let's take, for example, the Rosh. The Rosh is bothered by the very nature of the Issur Kelayim Begadim. So you've got Tzemer u'Pishnin, but they're mixed together in a beged. We should apply the principle of Bittul. We never found that the law of Bittul should apply to Kelayim Begadim. The Gemara also applies this in other cases, and you have a new principle. What is this new principle? It's called Heter Beheter. You have two things, each one of them unto itself would be what?
Mutter.
Would be mutter. And now you mix it together in a tarobis. In such a case, there's no din of bittul. Bittul only operates when you have one element of isur that gets mixed up with an element of heter. Now, we're going to have to understand how basar b'chalav works, because the Gemara says in Chulin, on Daf Kuf Ches, we just saw it, that tipas chalav would only aser the chaticha if what? If yesh ba b'nosein tam. Because if it's less than 1 to 60, let's say it's 1 to 59, or I should say the other way around, 61. Sorry. If it's 1 to 61, then the tipas chalav is what?
Butter.
Is batel. So let's read this inside. We're going to get to Rabbi Kibbeh's kash in just a minute. The Mishnah says that tipas chol shenofal al chatichim yesh pa b'no sein tam, which means it's not batel. Biosa chaticha reizu asura. That means that lo chal iser bas v'chol b'lo nesinas tam. This really reflects what we saw in the Chinuch, what we saw in the Reb Chaim, and we saw it in the Chazon Ish, that the essence of bas v'chol is when there's a tarobus of two tam. So each one gives a tam in the other one, and we have now a new tam which we call basar b'chalav. But if the basar, let's say the chalav, more likely is it could go the other way around too. But let's say the chalav is batel b'shishim in the basar, So that's not called Nesinas Tam, and therefore it's not Basa B'chala. Ulechor Tzarech Iv. In the case of Kalayim, it doesn't matter what the ratio is between Tzemer U'Fishtin, it's always going to be Asur. In the case of Basa B'chala, the Mishnah says it all depends on the ratio. And if the Cholav is relatively a small volume to the Basa, then we're going to apply the principle of Bittul, because it's known as Nesinas Tam. In Cain, if that be the case, if Basa B'chalav is mut because of Bittul, a Milo Nema, why shouldn't we apply the principle of Heta Beheta Lo Bittul? Because the Cholav itself is Heta, the Basa itself is Heta. V'yachol Iser Basa B'chalav Afilu B'pachos Mino Sein Tam. So he says that this is a question that's raised by all the Rishonim who formulate this principle of heter beheter lo batel. You know, bittel is a put up your dukes kind of thing between heter and yisur. It's not just two substances, you know, one is mevatel the other. And we have now two answers. We're going to have one answer that's Tosfos in Avodah Zarah in the Rosh in Hilchos Kalayim, and then we have another answer, the Sefer Aguda in Masechta Nida. And he's quoting the Levush. So let's start with Tosfos and the Rosh. Tosfos and the Rosh say, "Shiny Basa B'Cholav." That true, there should be no bittel in Basa B'Cholav because it's heter beheter. But Basa B'Cholav is different. Why? The Derech Bishul Asra Torah. That the Torah requires a normal Bishul. A normal Bishul is only with Nesinas Tam. So forget about the laws of Bittul over here. We don't need the laws of Bittul. We can completely ignore and circumvent the laws of Bittul, but we understand that if there's no Nesinas Tam, that's, for example, you cook something and add two things. I mean, any chef will tell you that every single ingredient you add to the cooking is for the purpose of what?
Taste.
Of adding the taste, of enhancing the taste, hopefully. Otherwise, it's going to be tamli lufgam. But let's assume that it's always going to be tamli shvach. I mean, that's why you're putting it in there. But you put in such a small amount that you didn't accomplish the agenda of bishul. What's the purpose of bishul? Is to give tam. So now you put the milk into the meat, and guess what? The milk didn't add any sort of tam to the meat. That's not called derech bishul. So again, in universal terms, we would not apply bittul to basa b'chalav because heta beheta lo batel. The only reason we're going to apply bittul is because in mitzius there's no tam, and if there's no nesinas tam, then it's not called derech bishul. However, the Aguda in the name of the Levush offers a different approach. Demayde heta beheta lo batel. That's only in a case of yavesh b'yavesh. If you have a mixture of yavesh b'yavesh, then if each thing is heter, then we don't apply bittul. That's going to be the classic case of kelai begodim. It's yovesh biyovesh. Avol b'taroves lach belach or lach biyovesh can go on basa b'chol. By definition, it's always lach. Therefore, heter beheter could be bottle. So again, this limitation that we don't apply bittul in the case of heter beheter, it only applies to what? To yovesh biyovesh. But if there's a mitzius of what? Of lach biyovesh or lach belach, then we apply the principle of bittul, even if it's what? Even if it's heter beheter. Mishum hachi, poshenu, amaylo chal isav basuchav hecha delekin esinas tam. Right, if it was only a small volume of milk that fell onto the meat, the reason why that doesn't generate an iser or basu b'chalav is because the tam is because the chalav is bittul in the taromis. It's heter beheter. The answer is, if it's lach b'yavesh, we're going to apply the principle of bittul even if it's head to head. Again, everything here has to be understood on a deeper level. I'm just giving you the surface level.
Wait, so what if you cook cheese, hard cheese?
Wait, 1 second. Sam was going to say something. Just want to...
Thank you. Okay. Lach b'yavish is the same whether it's going to be a meat of milk and a lot of meat or vice versa?
Correct. Correct. Again, we have to know why the Levush insists that head to head to low butter this. I don't want to get into that now because my goal is to just present Rabbi Kivega's cash. Yeah, please.
What happens if you cook hard cheese and meat?
Oh, it could be that when you cook it, it becomes a liquid. Even cheese becomes a liquid. That we have to know more about Tarovis when we get to Tarovis. Oh. So let's see the Kasha of Rabbi Kivega. So we summarize what we have until now in the opening line in the second paragraph. Shenechleku amafarshim im taroves basa b'chol b'lonesinas tam. So you have a case where the ratio of chalav to basa is 1 to 61. Let's say, why is it mutter? Is it A, according to Tosfos in the Rosh, b'din derech b'shalas v'torah? Is it B, according to the aguda, the name of the levush, because of the din of bittel? And despite the fact that it's yom, despite the fact that it's hetter behetter, since it's lach, therefore this bittul. I am betshuvas Rabbi Kivega shehela denafkimina leinyan imbutul levashel basa b'chol lechatchila bepachos mikidei nesinas tam. Can I take one volume of chalav and cook it in 61 times that volume of basa? Now we have a principle called aim what? Aim of Atlan Isilachatchila. He says, in Bibasa Bakala Balonasinas Tam, Mutamidin Bidol. If we're gonna operate with the principle of the Levush, that we apply Bidol over here, is Mistaber, it's logical that this should be prohibited. Why? Dilachatchila also Levashal Basa Bakala Balonasinas Tam da aim of Atlan Isilachatchila. And he tells you where to find that.
It's a circle of reasoning. Because if it's mutter and I'm a battle, there's no issue in the battle.
Again, the only reason it's not also is because of bittel. So what you're doing is you're setting up a situation.
But mutter means you have something that's usher and you're being mevatlant. Here,
not necessarily. I think aim of atlanisul chachilah means the following.
You can't do something on purpose. Correct. That otherwise, it would be different.
Right. Exactly. You can't take a mixture in order to be mati the mixture. So, for example, this mixture, if not for the fact that it was bittel, it would be also. So now you're being mati the isa through what? Through bittel. Because again,
mevatel something that is also.
Correct.
Okay.
Avol impossible chal below nesinis tab mutu mitzad atzmo mishum danak derech bishul asr Torah. This is beautiful. Rabbi Kivega says that if the whole reason why less than nesinis tam, right, the ratio built to meet was 1 to 61, is because it doesn't give tab b'mitzius, and that's not considered derech bishul. Is im kei mistab in the aflechat chila mutu levashel bosom chal below nesinis tam. Do you hear this, Rabbi Kivega? I mean, again, the mathematics is beautiful. He's saying that we might be able to allow you to cook milk and meat together. Forget about the Rabbanans and all that, Gzeiros and all that. But just in the conceptual world, we can allow you if there's going to be bittel. Why? Because that's not called derech bishul. The Torah only asks us derech bishul, and to give and to cook something of basa b'chol without what, without nesinas tam, that's not considered derech bishul. And that's the sheet of Tosfos and the Rosh. In other words, when Rava says derech bishul asr Torah and daf kuf ches, he's explaining why if there's no nesinas tam, there's no iser bishul over here. If there's no iser bishul, go ahead. Right, shalom al Yisrael, you know, gegezutehen. But if on the other hand you're going to go with the shita of the Levush is saying that we're not operating with bittul, and just one second, what did I get mixed up here?
We are
operating with bittul, I meant to say, because here we're talking about what? Not yovesh for yovesh, but lach for yovesh. So we're operating with bittul. So he says, and Rabbi Kivega says, that it's logical to assume that we have a principle called ein mevat l'nisulchat. Alright, so let's put this on the side here. And now I want to show you something very fascinating in this article over here, which should say on the top, Bidin Bishul Lach Shenitztani. You have such a page? Now that's a photocopy of the Hare Keder, which is Rabbi Michal Shurkin's rendition of Chidushim that he heard from Rav Soloveitchik. And what my chap here is that this chiddush was said by Rav Soloveitchik in Masechet Shabbos, and we have to learn it as almost like an introduction, I think, to Basa B'chol. These are shiurim I missed by 1 year. So I came in for Chulin and I missed Shabbos. That was the year before. But I think the Rav taught Shabbos more than once. And also in Boston he taught Shabbos. Okay. Now, the thrust of this Chiddush, for our purposes, is what I call a comparative study between two cases of Bishul, both of which the Torah prohibits. One is Bishul on Shabbos, and the other is Bishul of Basa B'chol. And this chiddush is based on a machlokes between the Rashba and the Rambam. And the one who notices this machlokes is the Magid Mishnah. So again, the Rambam is in Hilchas Shabbos, and the Magid Mishnah mentions a Rashba. The Rashba is in a different sugya, but we'll soon see the machlokes between the Rashba and the Rambam, and then we're going to try to plug it in to Basa Machol. Now, the main paragraph is the second one. I'm going to just read quickly through the first paragraph. If you have more time, you'll go through all the Maromakomos here in the first paragraph. I'm just going to read it very quickly, just so we get our heads, you know, screwed on tight. Omar Rav is the Gemara on Daf Lamed Dalet. Bibnei Ma Omru Ein Tomnim Bidavar She'ein Mosif Hevel Gzera Shemiyartiach. So Rashi says, So we're talking about here a case where something was cooked, it cooled off, and he's cooking it again. That's what the Gzeira is afraid of. Says the Rosh, Lamadnu, Sha'af tafshil shenizbashel, even if it was cooked on one occasion, v'nitztanim, and it cooled off, shayach be bishul. Why? Because this tafshil has a liquid in it. Kevat sheyesh bo mashke. So notice, as far as the davar gush is concerned, as far as the tafshil per se, forget about the liquids, no problem. It was already cooked, cook it a second time. That's called what? Ein bishul achar bishul. But the problem is that there's a liquid, and with regard to a liquid, even if it was cooked once, if it was nitztanein, if it doesn't maintain its heat, then the second cooking is considered a bishul, and he violates the malach of bishul because of the mashke. Aval rashba cholek usfirle dafilu lachshen nitztanein ein bo bishul achar bishul. Okay, then so we have machlokes whether bishul achar bishul, ein bishul achar bishul applies to lach. According to the Rosh, we're not going to apply the principle of ein bishul achar bishul, yesh bishul achar bishul b'lach, something that we're very familiar with, and the Rosh Peshitta is that ein bishul achar bishul even lach. The ultimate goal of this article, which goes on and on, is to explain the Shita Sarashba. Why do we apply the principle of ein bishul achar bishul b'lach? We'll get a little bit of an insight based on the equation, the comparison, if you will, between Bishul on Shabbos and Bishul of Basa Bechol. But we're only interested in that comparison. Now, at the end of this first paragraph, he quotes the Magid Mishnah, who in turn quotes this Machlokes between the Rosh and the Rashba. And then he ends with Tzarech Bir B'Plutosam. In other words, machlokas, whether there's a second bishul in tzonein, in something that was already a lach that was already cooked, but now it's tzonein, that's a machlokas that we have to understand. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to claim that the address for this analysis to understand the machlokas here about bishul achar bishul bilach or ein bishul achar bishul even bilach is a different address. Now this is the Rambam in Perek Tes Mihilchas Shabbos Halacha Chaf. I don't have a Rambam in front of me, but we'll quote it here, from here. It says Hamavashel ala or Davar Shahaya Mevushal Kol Tzarko. He has something that was already cooked and he puts it onto the fire. That's category number one. Category number two, scenario number two, is Davar She'eino Tzarech Bishul Klal. Like, for example, fruits that can be eaten raw. In both of these cases, case number one, it was already mevushal. Case number two, it's something that what could already be eaten. It can be eaten even in its raw, natural state. He's potter. Now, in the first of these two cases, what rule apparently is the Rambam applying when he says that if it was already cooked, it's ein bishul achar bishul? But points out to Magid Mishnah, there's something very strange about the Rambam. The Rambam says that he was mevashel something that was what? Should I read it again? Hamavashal or Dover Shahayim Mavushal called Sarko, Rabbo. So what does that indicate? First Taish, let's just say Taish. What does it mean called Sarko? The first Mishal, it was fully cooked. Says the Magid Mishnah, the Rambam is apparently limiting, because he couldn't tell me a bigger Kiddush, that even if it wasn't fully cooked, what's that called when something is cooked but not cooked? Okay, Michael Benjo saw it. Now, the Magid Mishnah says that Yesh L'Dagde, we should be careful about reading this Rambam, Dile HaRambam, B'tavshel shenizbashel k'maychel ben Josoi, Yesh Bishlach HaBishel. Why? Because it was only nizbashel k'maychel ben Josoi. The Rambam only applies the principle of Ein Bishlach HaBishel if it was nizbashel called Tzarko. The diuk of the Magid Mishnah is very strong. I mean, it's hard to ignore those two words in the Rambam. And the Rambam says that it's a Dover Shal Yevushal called Tzarko. However, says the Magid Mishnah, according to the Rashba and other Rishonim, Im Atavshel Nizbashel Kemaychel Ben Josoi, Yeshbo Mishum Bishlacha Bishol. So the Rambam is the Gevaldik Mekil over here, so to speak. I mean, he's not telling you to do this, but the Rambam is saying, no, faker, just the opposite. The Rambam is going to be the Machmir in this case, right? The Rashba is going to be the Mekil, because the Rashba is going to say, again, he's not advocating that you do this, but if you have something that was already cooked in the first round, Kimaychel Ben Josoi, if you cook it again, you're not Chayav. We're going to apply the principle of Ein Bishlach HaBishel. Why? Because it's already considered what? Mevushal. Because what's the shear of Bishol that makes something into Mevushal? Kimaychel Ben Josoi. The Rambam on the onion says no. That even if it was Mevushal, you can still be Mevashal a second time. No, what does the Rambam do with the principle of Ein Bishlach HaBishel? That's only what? Kol Tzarko. Wow. Now, from the next words, which is called Bibir Plutosim, to those who have the copy, until the end of the paragraph, Rav Soloveitchik is gonna introduce what I call a major breakthrough, and it's gonna have implications as far as Basa B'chol. Does anybody want to try to guess? But if you've read it already, that's not fair. But if you cover it and you haven't read it yet, what would be at least let's leave the Rashba on the side. Maybe the Rashba is a little bit more challenging, but let's take the Rambam sheet. Why would the Rambam distinguish between Kamaychel Ben Josoi, where we apply the principle of Yesh Bishol HaBishol, as opposed to Kol Tzarko? Anybody? I mean, it's not. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist.
Yeah, continue.
Correct. He's continuing the Bishol. Now, if we put that into Hilchos Shabbos terms, then what is a malach on Shabbos?
Improving,
changing, right? You could call it by many different words. You know, some of the Achronim call it a tachlis, you know, some sort of tachlis. Others call it a shinui. Some call it a tikkun. Others call it a malachas makshavas. I mean, all these different terminologies are really coming to the same goal, and that's why, for example, if we would take the shita of Reb Shimon, I mean, Reb Yehuda disagrees about malach sheni tzricha legufa, meaning, what did you accomplish over here? Well, you aren't interested in plowing the field and therefore making holes in the ground. All right, that's already a double shade of miscavenging. But let's say, for example, you aren't interested in making a hole in the ground to plant when you took out the soil. Your interest was only to take the dirt and do whatever you want to do with the offer with an iron, right? So that means that every malacha has a certain purpose to it. You've changed something. Says the Rambam, you started with something Kemaychel Ben Josoi. So if you're a bandit on the rush, on the run, then it's very good. You know, Kemaychel Ben Josoi, you know, I dip my piece of meat into the fire and it's partially cooked. Whether it's shlish bishulo, chatzi bishulo, whatever Kemaychel Ben Josoi means. But now you took something that's Kemaychel Ben Josoi, and you brought it to the level of Kol Tzarko. That's a tremendous benefit, a shinui that we would call in modern Hebrew mashmauti legamre. You know, it's very significant because now this is the way we eat things. So you've improved the maichal. Now you have a malechas makshevis. That's a real significant malacha. So when does the Rambam apply the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? When you have no Meleches Machsheves, you have no Shinui and you have no impact. What's that?
Kol
Tzarko.
Already.
Beautiful. That's the easy part. But Rav Soloveitchik wants to analyze the Rashba. The Rashba also presumably would understand that Meleches Shabbos means some sort of Shinu, in Yiddish maybe you call it an uftu, you know, you accomplish something, but here the Rashba is going to insist that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. It's almost as if the Rashba has some sort of Xeris HaKosim called Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. I don't know what the source for it is. And the Rashba is going to say that once it's Mevushal Kemaychem Ben Josoyas, then we're going to apply the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Again, the fact that you've made a change, that's not enough. I don't know why. I'm not sure why, but it's some sort of mechanical principle which is called Ein Bishul Achar Bishul.
Rashba is only talking about Dovra Lach.
No, that's a different Rashba. It's two different Rashbas. Again, the Rav is going to make a whole shir out of this Rashba that we're doing now about even a Tavshil of Yovesh. Okay. That even though the Tavshil of Yovesh has reached the barest minimum, it's barely edible. I mean, again, for some people it might be considered edible. You know, today people eat raw fish. I don't know how they do that. I never had the guts to even try sushi. I don't know. I just the whole idea of raw fish gets me scared. But everybody loves raw fish. I mean, there's a place here on the street here that all it sells is sushi. I'm sure they sell other things, but
people have always eaten herring.
Herring is raw? I thought it's smoked.
It's marinated. So this is all.
It's salted or?
It's marinated usually.
What does marinated mean? In salt?
Vinegar.
Or oil. So it could be that might come under the halacha of aliyah. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Sushi is not totally raw.
Oh, it's not totally raw. Oh, good. Because somebody told me that they're eating raw meat already. They got to that much. You know, we live in a very fast-moving society.
Holland,
but be that I would wonder why, according to the Rashba, you're not chayev. I mean, the Rambam's logic is pretty compelling in the context of
the Rashba. Is a different conception of bishul.
And what is it? Can you formulate?
It would seem to me that according to the Rashba, bishul is changing piece of meat from an inedible state to an edible state.
Okay.
Right? So you said, well, it's barely edible.
But again.
Yeah, but barely edible is still edible.
Right.
Prior to the.
But the only problem is, I would agree with you, except for the problem of Meleches Machsheves, meaning we're going to have to introduce another standard in Meleches. I mean, if our standard in Meleches, you know, you want to know, is this a Meleches? Does it constitute a qualified? I would answer, well, it depends on what you achieve. If your achievement on something that's technically mavushal, because the Torah considers it b'shiurim as a tavshil, mavushal because it's Michael ben Josai, that doesn't undermine the fact that in truth you have brought this Michael ben Josai to a fully edible state of bishul. That should be a Meleches Machsheves. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to introduce another element here to the equation in order to justify the Shita of the Rashba. Let's read it inside. Ubebir pluktasam nira de pligi biyisod hamavur b'masnisim. This is at the end of the Masechta Shabbos. It says kol shebav chamin. That's talking about something that was already heated up milifnei Shabbos is shor noso b'chamin b'Shabbos. You're allowed to put it back into boiling hot water on Shabbos. Dilahari shonim, right? He's not yet ready for the Rambam. Dilahari shonim who klal b'melechesh mevashel, meaning that this principle knows no exceptions. Dilo nitfas chalushem bishul b'dorim mevushel. That's what you were saying before, but you'll see how he adds another element into the equation in just a minute. V'chol cheftza shel melacha hu levashel dover she'enu mevashel.
Mevushel.
Ulahachi klolahu di'ein bishul achar bishul. V'ein toras bishul shtei pa'amim. I mean, you have to add b'cheftza echad, right? In other words, if you have one object and it's already considered mevushel, then what you're doing now is not called mevushel. It's not called bishul. Why? Because it's already mevushel. So anything that's already mevushal, it doesn't lend itself to another round of bishul.
Even if it's not called
ulam Rambam svirle. Yeah, what do you say, Alan?
Even if it's not called tzarko.
Right, even though it's not called tzarko, but it's already got a Torah's bishul. He calls it mevushal. It's already mevushal. If it's already mevushal, and that's Michael Benjo saw it, then you want to create a new bishal. How can you create a bishal on something that's already mevushal? That's the paradox, and therefore the Rishonim come to the conclusion that ain't bishlach a bishal, even though you can really upgrade it to the state of mevushal called tzorko. Ulav Rambam. The Rambam's not going to disagree with the very basic principle that it's already called mevushal. I mean, he could have come up with some sort of other theory that maybe it's not called mevushal, but he's saying no, the Rambam agrees that it's mevushal, and he bases it on the Rambam, who says I will nisbashal kulo chetzi bishul chayav, and that's already called nisbashal even though it's only chetzi bishul. Mikolakom severely the shapir shayach bishul achar bishul. You could fichay from leches bishul on something that's already mevushal. How is that so? I mean, after all, if it's already mevushal, what's the significance of your bishul on something that's already mevushal? You're not creating a shame mevushal. It's already been created. The object, the foodstuff, is already mevushal. The Rambam holds gam bedover mevushals mishkachas bishul. The hod in his bashal called tzorko einbo bishum bishal hain mishum di eno metakein klum. The second bishal on something that was what? That was already fully cooked doesn't add any tikkun. I mean, it probably does add some tikkun, but it's not significant. Uklalu, I would have said yisodu, right? The underlying premise of Meleches Shabbos by definition is to be ina Meleches tikkun. And that tikkun has to have a certain chashivas to it, and the Rambam holds that to take something from nisbashel, but it wasn't nisbashel called tzarko. Again, if it was nisbashel called tzarko, that's not a significant tikkun. So therefore, ainu metakein klum is la melacha klal.
That's strange.
But in the case of something that's only reached the level of what? Of kemaychel ben josoi, then your bishel is now a tikkun. And here the Rav has a beautiful proof. Let's go back to the two cases which the Rambam swallows up in one breath as to why you're potter in bishul. The first case was that the original bishul was kemaychel ben josoi. Then the Rambam has the second case. Who remembers the second case of the Rambam? I give you a hint: fruits, right? That what? That you can eat raw. They're edible raw. He says, Yisodlis, I mean, the Kaila Rama, the Rama includes Dovershah Yavavushal called Tsarko, Bahadi Dovershain of Tsarv Bishal Klal. So, what's the common link over here that the Rama says in cases A and B are potter for Shabbos? A is where it was already Mavushal called Tsarko, and now you cook it a second time. And B is the case of something that doesn't need Bishal. He says, Pashtus, the Tzadah Shomesh event is that in both cases it's not a tikkun. Either because it's already, God has the tikkun of Bishul, it's already Mavushal called Tzarko, or because it doesn't need Bishul. Asher al Kain, Svirulei la Rambam, the Choshal on his Bashal called Tzarko, Yeshva Mishun Bishul. Harei, the Havilei Meleches Tikkun, Levashlo called Tzarko. So the Rambam holds its Meleches Tikkun. What do you say?
It's not
the
same
person. No, I don't think so. I think the Tzadik Yafo is even beyond that called Tzarko. It's not a din
of Bishul, it's a din of
Tzikur. Correct. And the reason why the Rambam holds that Yechayev for this kind of a Bishul is because it's a Bishul Sheesh Bo Tzikur. I will say that the object is already Mavushal, but if I can take this Mavushal and add a Tikkun through Bishul, the Rabbi says that's also
add a Bishul Tikkun.
I meant to say a Bishul. Yeah. Did I say tikkun, through Bishul?
No, but let's say if you do fruits, you're making a very. That's like mustamik. Doing fruits in the stomach is
you can't make mustakim with fruits. You can make some.
They're off in the stomach.
Yeah, stewed fruits. Stewed
right.
Fruits.
Right. Stomach. Maybe there's certain. If there's a certain fruit that can't be eaten,
it can be eaten, but you're making it better because you can eat it puree.
Good. So then the Rabbi would have to analyze in each case, is that a significant tikkun?
No, but I'm saying
we don't have a shiur.
It might be a tikkun, but not a bishul tikkun, just like mitztamek is a tikkun, but it's not a bishul tikkun. It's a gustatory, I don't know, a culinary tikkun.
So what do you mean by tikkun? Is it any
improvement? That we don't know. I don't have an answer to your question. We don't have shiurim in tikkun.
That's the nub of the machlokes.
But the Rambam holds that taking it from the state of kemaychel ben josoi to kol tzarko, that's a significant tikkun. Maybe the Rashba holds it's not a significant enough tikkun. I don't know, but more likely, at least in the Rav's favorite reference, the reason why the Rashba holds that you're not chayv for the second bishul in the case of Michael Benjamin Soy is because the cheft is already mavushal. So what do you do? You're involved in a ma'aseh bishul. What makes this into bishul? Bishul means it wasn't mavushal, but if it was already mavushal, then it doesn't lend itself to bishul. So that bishul on the second time, even though it improves tremendously the edibility or the enjoyment of the object, but nevertheless, it's lacking in a more fundamental issue. Before you get to talk about tikkun, talk about bishul. Is this bishul? Comes along the Rashi, he says, "Ein bishul." Bishul means because it's nisbashel, and that means it reached the state of what? Kemichel banjo soy. You can't add another bishul. So your second bishul doesn't qualify as a bishul. That's the Rashi. So and the Rambam is willing to say it qualifies as a bishul because of what? Of tikkun. He's going to use the tikkun element to make it into a bishul.
Is the Rashi focused on the chefza, and the Rambam focused on the pula?
No, I think the exact opposite. I think what the Rambam is focused on the chefza, and he's asking, does your bishul impact on the chefza? And if it does, we're going to call it a bishul. The Rashi is not willing to upgrade a bishul to the level of bishul in this case, because the cheft is already mavushal, meaning the Rashi is saying that your mice and bishul doesn't qualify as a mice and bishul for melechas bishul if the cheft is already mavushal. Our definition of mice and bishul, again, I'm not saying the cheft is irrelevant, don't misunderstand me, but the cheft is only relevant in order to impact on the bishul. And here the Rashi says, well, if the cheft is mavushal, whatever the Torah defines as a sheer bishul, then your mice and bishul is not called a mice and bishul.
So it's edibility.
Because it doesn't include tikkun.
Yeah, but. But
I don't know if you go with edibility, then you're saying the Rashba also defines the malacha of bishul based on change, based on tikkun, based on malachas machshavas. And you're going to say, well, if it's already edible, that's not enough of a change. And that's a valid approach. I'm not. But the Rav, I think, is approaching it in a different way, and we'll see that in the next paragraph. The Rav is going to say that according to the Rashba, what is we have to define bishul. And if we want to define bishul, it's got to be something that makes something into a tavshil. You'll see how this applies even in the case of bas b'cholov, where there is no halacha of tikkun. The halacha of bas b'cholov is lo sevashel gediba chalevima. And the Rashi is going to say, well, if it's already mavushal, ein bishalach bishul. So let's take a look at the next paragraph. V'nira d'nafkemina bazer b'din bishalach bishul b'bas b'cholov. Now we're really getting down to basics for our study of Basa B'cholot. What does it mean, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? Now we're going to have a tremendous nafkamina. To Ladas HaRishonim, according to the Rashba, to Lo Nitfas Shem Shel Bishul B'Domer Mavushal. Once it's Mavushal, you can't create a new Bishul. In Cain, Gam Iser Mavashal Basa B'cholot, Lecha Bazeh Midoraisa. I understand Ein Bishul Achar Bishul in the case of Basa B'cholot, because the Torah prohibits what? Bishul. And if it's already Mavushal, then there's no bishul. Ah, however, in contrast, l'das Rambam, you could have bishul achar bishul. The only problem is that does the second bishul add anything? And here the Rambam is going to say, well, let's differentiate between kol tzarko in the first round and Michael Benjo saw it. You know, the Rambam is adding a whole new element to the equation. You know what? The question is whether you're chayef for bishul or not. Okay, you did a ma'aseh bishul, but are you going to be chayef for this bishul? And the answer is, it all depends upon whether you have a tikkun. Who did miyuchad? Now it becomes a specific din. This is a typical brisket style. Is it a din miyuchad or a din kloli? We're not defining bishul. We're talking about bishul and Shabbos. And bishul and Shabbos has a unique definition because you need, as you do in all 39 malachas, a malachas tikkun. Well, if you have a malachas tikkun, then nira, the Rebasa B'cholov, where there is no definition of tikkun, and the Isa Toli B'chal Shem Bishul, all we need is to know whether he violates Lo Savashel, is this a Bishul or is not a Bishul? There we don't have a condition of Melechas Tikkun. So it's going to come out, according to the Rambam, that in the case of Bishul, of Bas B'cholov, we should say Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. Why? We would have said, in the case of Melechas Shabbos, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. But why did we say Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul? That's because of Melechas Tikkun. Correct? So that's a Din Miyuchad and Shabbos. In the case of Basa B'cholov, that everything depends upon Bishul, we could go back to our original definition. And that is that if something is Mavushal, then you can't subject it to another Bishul. There's no second round Bishul. Correct? Let me get this down straight. again, give me a minute just to get the mathematics. I'm always very slow in mathematics. He says the following. In that case, we're not going to say Tnai Shel Meleches Tikun. He's going to say that what?
It's mutter.
No. Just 1 second. No. Again, the Rambam is assuming that the second Bishul is Bishul, correct? And the only reason why, in the Rambam's frame of reference, you're not chayv for the second bishul in the case it's called tzarkus, because you're lacking what condition?
Tikkun.
So that's a condition in Shabbos. In the case of basar b'chalav, then we're going to say that it's going to be awesome. Again, let's go over it one more time to see if we have the calculation. If the mathematics works out, it's a brilliant chiddush. Because again, we had two opinions in the Rishonim that we discussed at great length about whether bishulach and bishul is chayv in basar b'chalav or not. The Rambam is going to maintain the yesh bishulach and bishul. The Rambam is not saying that once it's mavushal, there's no other bishul. I'll prove it to you. Because Kemaychel Ben Jesoy is already mavushal, and yet the Rambam says yichayv on Shabbos. It must be a meleches bishul.
But you're not chayv for bishul, you're chayv for tikkun.
No, that's not true.
Says.
That's not true. There are only 39 malachas. We can't, well...
The Takimon is a...
Right. Oh, that's what you meant. Okay. That's a brilliant chav. But that's not true in this case.
For food.
True. I'll tell you why it's not true.
Problem.
Because the Rambam, again, I need a Rambam here, but if you open up Perek Tes Milchus Shabbos, the Rambam tells you under what circumstances you're chai from Meleches Bishul. He doesn't even have Meleches Tikkun Mon until a later stage.
Tikkun Mon is
problematical. Rabosai. This is what the Rav is saying here. Again, you can argue with the Rav. You know, we'll get to that point too, but I just want to get to the point where I understand what the Rav is saying. The Rav is saying the following. That there is Bishul Achar Bishul. How do I know that according to the Rambam there's Bishul Achar Bishul? Because the Rambam raises the possibility that you can have something that's already Mavushal and yet you can be Chayiv for a second Bishul. The Rambam says the following. Why are you potter in the case of Mavushal called Tzarko? So Rav Salvechik is suggesting that the reason for that is because, okay, you had a Bishul, but there's another condition in Shabbos. In Shabbos, you're not chayav for Bishul or any malacha, unless you have a second condition. And what's that?
Tikkun.
In the case of Mavushal called Tzarko, you do have Bishul,
but
you don't have Tikkun. In the case of Basar B'chalav, all I need is Bishul. I don't need a second condition. Now, the Rashba would say, Ein Bishul, Achav Bishul, and Basar B'chalav, because I don't have Bishul. The Rambam is going to say, Yesh Bishul, Achav Bishul, unless there's no Tikkun, and that's a specific halacha in Hilchos Shabbos. So that, basically, when I re-cook something that was cooked called Tzarko, I should be Chayv on Shabbos. The only reason I'm not Chayv on Shabbos is because on Shabbos is a second condition. What's that second condition? We need a Tikkun, and this is not called a Tikkun. However, in Basar B'chalav, all I need is Bishul Achar Bishul, meaning the second Bishul is a Bishul, and the Rambam holds the second Bishul would be a Bishul. Even if the first Bishul was called Tzarko, there would be a second Bishul, and you'd violate this Isur. Again, you could argue against the Rav if you like. I'm not ready for that yet. But
I understood what the Rav said completely, but the Rambam says completely differently.
Do you have the text?
Because of Peros.
No, he's saying the
what
following.
What happens if you cook Peros?
So the Rambam is saying that if you cook Peros, that's a Bishul, and certainly
it
involuntary.
Is a Bishul?
Yeah. But the only problem is it can be eaten raw. So if it can be eaten raw, what great tikkun have you?
Are you chayav for bishul?
I think you're playing
are
semantic.
Are you chayav for bishul?
No, I think
this is a lot more than semantic.
And if it's not something that you get, if it's something you eat only raw, you're not chayav bichlal. So I understood the Rambam is saying is that if it's a Meichel Ben Jerusalem, period, there's no Bishul after that at all. But there is Tikkun. And you're chayav for Tikkun, not for Bishul.
No, again, Rabbi, open up the Rambam. The Rambam is talking about Bishul. He hasn't even mentioned Tikkun Mona. Tikkun Mona is going to be at the end of Hilchos Shabbos.
Does Tikkun Mona apply to food?
No.
I don't know.
No.
That you could wonder about that.
I'm not a mana.
I'm not learning Tikkun mana right now. We're not learning Shabbos. What we're trying to establish is that Yesh Bishlach or Bishul, the reason in Peros that you're not chai from Lech is Bishul is because of the same reason that you're not chai in a case of a Bushel called Sarko. Why aren't you chai in a case of a Bushel called Sarko? Because that Bishul didn't accomplish anything. Why aren't you chai in the case of a Dom Shenech Al Chai? Because he didn't accomplish anything. It doesn't mean that it's a chisar and bishul. It's a chisar and maleches makshevas. Again, you could argue against Rav Soloveitch, but let's just hear what the man has to say.
But I think if you add one word to it, what the Rav wants to say, but when you see, instead of just saying plain bishul, what he really means is maisa bishul.
Okay.
And what you're doing is you're performing an act that is the same sort of act that occurs.
Correct.
It's not called bishul.
And that's called bishul. But in Shabbos, you have a different halacha. In Shabbos, we have another condition. In addition to the condition of Bishul, you have another condition, and that's Tikkun. But that doesn't apply in Kol Tarkul. That only applies to Shabbos. So when we get to Basa B'chol, the Torah says, Lo Savashel, I couldn't care less whether you're making a Tikkun. You're Chayef for Bishul because that is Bishul.
That's Basa B'chol. I'm talking about the first paragraph of Shabbos.
But again, the whole proof about Basa B'cholov, what would the Rambam say about Basa B'cholov, is based on Shabbos. If the Rambam will tell you in Shabbos why you're not chayav for the second Bishul, we'll begin to understand whether that p'tur should apply to Basa B'cholov. If the Rambam can apply some sort of universal principle that this is not Bishul, then it's going to apply to if the chisaron is in your very basic, it's a gaping hole in your definition of Bishul, that's going to apply even to Basa B'cholov, and that's going to be the Rashba Shita. But the Rambam is saying no. The Rambam is combining it with something that doesn't need Bishul, and he's telling us that if it's Mevushal called Tzarka doesn't need Bishul, again, you have a Bishul, but the question is, do you need that Bishul? How much do you accomplish from that Bishul? That's how the Rambam understands it. And the Nafkamina is going to be in Hilchas Shabbos in the case of what? Of Kemaychel Ben Josoi, and the answer is that will be a Bishul Achar Bishul. So you understand the second Bishul on something that was cooked already is chayef for Melechas Bishul, the Rambam says. Why? Because now you have the second condition. This is significant Bishul, and therefore we have a Tikkun. In Kol HaTorah Kulu, we don't have to have the second condition. So therefore there's going to be a Bishul Achar Bishul and Yechayef. But the Rashba is a more fundamental problem. And that fundamental problem will penetrate through all the tremors, through all of halacha, from A to Z, right? What's the problem with the Rashba? The Rashba is saying it's already Mevushal. Give me a break. The Torah said it's already Mevushal, and now you're going to tell me you're doing another Maisa Bishul? The Rambam says you are doing a Maisa Bishul. And the Rashba says you're not doing a Maisa Bishul.
Can you explain to me? Can you explain?
Whatever Bishul is, I call it a Maisa Bishul. You could call it a different name, but dear God. Your last name is Korn, right?
Yes, most
but I don't remember your first name. Sorry.
Yitzchak.
Wow, why? I know Yitzchak Korn, I think. Do you know another person by the
name? No, that's some other good-looking guy.
Yeah. Not as good-looking as you.
Explain to me why there's no... In Peros,
yeah.
Right? There's no Tikkun in Peros when you cook the Peros. Right. But there is a Tikkun in Basar, Macha Ben Drasai, when you go for a Macha Ben Drasai. So what is this notion of Tikkun here? Because unless you can give some substance to the notion of Tikkun, it seems to me you're just using it as a kind of semantic way to get out of a problem.
I don't see
what
that at all.
No. So why is there no tikkun regarding peyrot?
Again, we're talking about peyrot that could be eaten raw. Yeah. Now, again, Rav Osen, there may be peyrot that are so sour that you can't eat them raw. Maybe
you have a good apple. You can eat the good apple, but you can also eat meat that's partially cooked, that's not fully cooked. So that's why I don't understand the distinction.
Right. So again, in the case that something partially cooked, would you serve that to someone at a meal? And the answer is no, unless he's a bandit. Unless he's Reish Lakish before he does tshuva. I shouldn't be reminding Reish Lakish of it. Yeah, that might be on us tomorrow. But the Gemara says that Reish Lakish was the head of the bandits. You know. So would you serve at your Shabbos table? Again, things have changed maybe today and you have to reevaluate things, but back in the day, you would never ever serve someone Kemaychel Ben Josai. He would vomit from it. Unless he's a trained bandit who always eats Kemaychel Ben Josai. That's a very significant change. But if you have fruits, and I can either give you raw apples or I can give you cooked apples, so for some people, you know, maybe for stomach reasons, they love cooked apples. You know, compote. you know, my in-laws go to a hotel called Fleischmann's, you know, and they're, you know, kompot, like that's the ikar of the meal. It's the cooked apples, you know what I'm saying? It probably depends on what country you come from, but anyway, if you're European,
some of those apples are not even edible, bro.
Can you beat the last?
Oh, so that would then I would say, according to Rambam, you're chayef and bishul.
It's hard.
The Maggid Mishnah seems to I don't know. He's quoting Gemara Parakira when he says at the very last line on the same one that the Rav quoted. He said, "Mikan shadavah she'ain of tzarech bishul ain bo bishul adivrei akol." Now it just makes like a blanket rule that
you're talking about Shabbos.
Ah, I mean to say even the Rashba.
That's what he's saying, but I don't understand.
That's
all
payrolls, or something,
Rebbe.
Because I think I'd have to go through that Maggid Mishnah inside. Yeah. But my impression when I just read this text is that in the case of payrolls, the Rashba would say that you're chayev because that's a ma'aser bishul. It's not mevushal. So in the case of Kemaychel Benjasai, it's already mevushal. You know, according to the Rashba, you can't say two things out of two sides of your mouth at the same time. You can't, these are mutually exclusive. You can't say out of one side of your mouth, it's already mevushal, and out of the other side of the mouth, I'm going to take it and I'm going to subject it to a bishul. It's already mevushal.
Mm-hmm.
The Rambam is introducing another element into the equation, and that's Melecha Shabbos.
Here's the clarifying case.
Pitch it.
You're mevashel, chalav, mevasser, but it never reached the level of Bachel and Dorsai. Now, on Shabbos, would you be chayev or not be chayev?
Probably. According to the Rambam, you took it from Michael Ben Jesuit to Kolt Zorah?
No, it never got from zero to Michael Ben Jesuit.
That's a good question, but I don't know why you're introducing. Did you say it happened on Shabbos?
No, yeah, I'm saying
forget about Shabbos.
No, but
today,
I
want to know, today you took Basa B'cholov and you cooked it less than Kamei
Chabetz. I know, the only reason I'm doing the two is to show you the difference between. Yeah, according to the Rambam, it would seem that you would be chayv.
You might be chayv
because it's a ma'aser bishul.
Correct.
The other hand, if it were
according to Rashba, I would say the ma'aser bishul is a function of the tavshil, the tavshil mevushal, and your case
not mevushal.
According to the Rambam, it could be. Again, we don't know. It's an excellent question. Maybe that would be considered a ma'aser bishul. Or are we saying no? That a ma'aser bishul is only if it becomes mevushal.
We've had this before with Zoraya. Once you put you do the masa zriya by putting the, but you're not chayiv anything until it grows 3 days later.
So wait, so what's the tushtel to hear?
If you heat the stuff until.
Oh, you mean after Shabbos? He's saying
Shabbos.
No, because there's no tushtel. Because
what happened? No, because what happened on Shabbos? It reached Kemaychel Ben Jesuit.
It did not. And then what?
It reached Kemaychel Ben Jesuit after Shabbos.
No,
the case is real. Wait a minute.
You took it off.
Wait, Rabbi, you're only chai for Zriya 3 days now. The line it reaches Hashkosh.
I want to know if I put a.
Into the ground, and then I pull it out
into the oven,
and then I pull it out.
I pull it out before it.
So that's an achlokes between the Rashash and the Avnei.
Right, exactly.
I'm not trying to impress my students, but
that's based the same thing by Zriya. We learned the comparison.
No, but it may be that it may not constitute the definition of bishul. May be you have to apply heat up to the level of macho ben.
Right, could be.
Certainly on Shabbos, that level it's no bishul.
Certainly on Shabbos,
exactly.
On Shabbos, but a bas b'cholov, I think that's a very good.
I think that's one of the bishul.
Right, but on Shabbos, I don't know. I don't know if this
has nothing to do with macho ben bishul.
I don't know about you, but gentlemen, you could go on and on for the next whatever. I would applaud you, but just make sure you have a minute for the
This is our Shabbos. How are you, Kedah?
This is.